Ramsey TV.
Can we turn the music off?
Now.
Thanks. Just don't feel like hearing that music. It's too happy for me today. Way too happy. What I want to talk to you about today is the armor of God. I'm supposed to be in Romans chapter 11. But I don't do what I'm supposed to do. No, I don't. I do what I'm not supposed to do. I'm supposed to be in Romans chapter 11, finishing up that chapter on the heels of what I taught 2 weeks ago about where the lost 10 tribes of Israel are and why your friends, relatives, and soon-to-be ex-friends are all excited about Israel. Now, I'm not going to finish talking about that. I need to talk about the armor of God. This is an emergency situation for many of you. It is for me. So here we go, the armor of God. This is in Ephesians chapter 6. I got to tell you this before I even start. Hang on. This is very important. If you don't get this, you ain't going to get nothing. Armor of God is just what it says it is. It's the armor of God. This stuff belongs to God. It is His exclusive property. It ain't yours. It never is yours. When you put it on, in the Greek, it's enduno. It has the thought of you slip in under it. You slip in under the armor of God. The armor of God, get it? If you're talking about the duck of Phil, what are you talking about? Talking about Phil's duck. The duck of Phil. Is it your duck? No. It's Phil's duck. This is the armor of God. Whose armor is it? Yeah, it's God's armor. So when you see all these illustrations of individual Christians with their swords and their breastplate and their helmet, it's a Christian fantasy. Well, they live in a fantasy land, the Christians do. And they want to be individually wrapped. And they don't want to be sold separately. No, they do want to be sold separately. Yeah, they do want to be sold separately. They want to be individually wrapped. They want to be independent of God. And so they think it's their armor. That's why you see these illustrations of Christians in the armor of God. They look like soldiers. Well, you know, the old song, Onward Christian Soldiers, marching as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. As if the cross of Jesus is like a machine gun. Onward Christian Soldiers, marching as to war with the cross of Jesus. It's like you're holding the cross like this, and it's like you're shooting people with it. That's what they do. That's what the Crusaders used to do. And kill people. In the name of God, I smite thee. That's not how it works today. Today's the gospel of grace. So it's not your armor, it's God's armor. This should be a relief right away. Before we even get into the details on this. It's God's armor. You come under the influence of it. It already exists. God did all the work. The helmet of salvation's already there. The breastplate of righteousness is already established. The evangel of peace is already established. The sword of the Spirit is already written. The whole thing is already constructed. It's a beautiful castle, complete with a moat. And all you have to do is come under the influence of it in your mind. This thing. This, you come under the influence of it by realizing that it exists already on your behalf. This, what I'm telling you now, will solve so many problems for you in almost every department of Scripture. Salvation, same thing. Salvation's already been won. It's a Disneyland of wonders, and it's already been constructed. And you just wake up one day and you realize you're in it. You realize you've been saved. Jesus Christ saved you 2,000 years ago. It's a matter of coming to a realization of the truth. You may be listening to me today and say, Martin, you look a little weird today. You sound a little weird. Why are you wearing sunglasses? Don't tell me it's like 5 in the morning. No, it's not 5 in the morning. It's 5:52 in the morning. And no, I'm not under the influence of alcohol. I just do that for fun every once in a while just to throw people off. Actually, I'm, it's Kraft Parmesan cheese. Yeah, I've been going a little overboard on it. They say you do whatever it takes. This is what it takes. No, actually, I've been taking an antidepressant for about, 9 months to a year. I've had this like low grade depression for about, it's only for about 12 years. So I started taking this stuff called Wellbutrin. And then I think it was really messing with my sleep. So I decided I'm going to stop taking it. Most people would say, you need a doctor's supervision. No, I don't. I don't need a doctor's supervision. What's the doctor going to tell me? He's going to tell me, just wean off of it. Go off of it gradually. I already know that, so that's what I'm doing. Except I'm not. I tried to get off of it a little too fast, so I'm a little, let's just say anxious and acting a little strange here. But that's why. I'm not on drugs. I'm off them. I'm not under the influence of alcohol. I'm under the influence of Kraft Parmesan grated Parmesan cheese, compliments of the local Publix grocery store. So now we're talking about the armor of God. It's going to be a short show. So I've been, it's weird because I have not been sleeping well for a year because of that shit I was on. I'm pretty sure that's why. So I've been sleep, ever since I've been getting off of, I was taking like, you can't cut this pill in half because it's time released, see? So you have to just take one. I've been, the regular dosage is 2 a day, 1 every 12 hours. So then you get, taper that down to 1 a day, then 1 every 2 days, then 1 every 3 days. And I went from 1 every other day to like 1 every 4 days. That was too big of a jump. You ever seen the little video with little bunny rabbits on the bed and he jumps, tries to get to the ledge of a window and he misses, whoosh, falls down. Sender missed. I missed the ledge. Bunny fall down, go boom. But Bunny's still able to talk about armor of God for you. And this is what I'm doing this morning at 5:50. Well, I suppose it must be 5:56 by now. For the rest, brethren, mine, be invigorated. I'm in verse 10 of Ephesians 6. Be invigorated in the Lord and in the might of his strength. There it is. In the might of his strength. This is the might of his strength. The fortress is built. The castle is constructed. You were born into Disneyland, which is saved for the eons in God. Christ died 2,000 years ago. It was effective. You were saved then. So we are invigorated in the might of his strength. In the might of his strength. This is his armor. It's his strength. It's his might. It's his everything. So put on the armor of God to enable you to stand up to the stratagems of the adversary. This put on, I told you before, it's in the middle voice. It's not the active voice. Remember I told you how I demonstrated the active and the passive voice with a red umbrella? Put on is you grab an umbrella, put it on yourself. This is how Christians think of the armor of God. Put it on, put it on. That's the active voice. But the Greek has three voices, three different voices for the verb. The active, the passive, and the middle. See, we don't have the middle in English. I don't know if one of the presidential candidates would campaign on adapting the middle voice and bringing it into the English, they would definitely have my vote. But no, we only have two, the active and the passive. The middle voice is in between the active and the passive, as you might guess. So this is not put on the armor of God, take it. It's not the passive voice either, where you just sit there and it comes under you. So we do apprehend it. We do something, but it's a matter of apprehension. So the middle voice is the umbrella exists, the armor of God exists, and you come up under it. You come under its influence. You don't invent it. You did not produce it. You don't maintain it. It's just there. So you come up under it. And what is it for? It's to stand up to the stratagems of the adversary. Stratagems in the Greek is methodia, as you might well guess. The inherent in this word is the thought of a trick. A stratagem is a trick. And I'll tell you this about Satan, and that he only has one. He has no offensive weapons, if you can believe this, for you and for me. No offensive weapons whatsoever. He cannot damage you frontally. A frontal attack, Satan, is a joke, because you're like a battleship. Because God is surrounding you. You're a battleship. You're reinforced on all sides. We're going to get to that with this, with the, what the King James calls the breastplate of righteousness. It's not a breastplate, it's a cuirass, which goes all the way around, covers your back too, because that's where Satan gets you, in your back. Stabs a backstabber. He's a backstabber. A breastplate doesn't do you any good with Satan. It's like, I'm protected from up front. Numbnuts, he's coming from the back. So you got a breastplate. Whoopty freaking do. It's not going to help you at all. You need a cuirass. The cuirass, it goes all the way around. If you don't know what a cuirass is, look it up in the dictionary. Q-U-I-R-A-S-S. So the stratagems of the adversary, this whole thing is for stratagems of the adversary. A stratagem is a ploy, it's a trick. Satan's got nothing left except lies. He's done. He's bereft. He was publicly humiliated at the cross, totally defeated. And see, we're smart enough to realize he's defeated. Christians aren't, because they're constantly fighting him. They think he's got this mad power, and they think that Christians think he can actually beat God. They think that it's a suspenseful competition. Christians think that. Now, yes, they do, right? Am I right? Of course I'm right. Christians think that we're in this suspenseful competition where God and Satan are duking it out in this game, like the cowardly lion. And they actually think Satan's going to win. They actually think he has won. He's gonna capture most of humanity, take him to hell for eternity, against the wishes of God. Why are you taking those people to hell for eternity? Because I'm stronger than you are, God. Yeah, he is too in the Christian doctrine department. God is not as strong as Satan. It's another way of Satan saying Satan is stronger than God. I hate that teaching. So it's all a lie. The Christian teaching is a complete lie. God is the total victor. The only reason Christians are fighting Satan on his turf, they're fighting him on his turf, by his rules of engagement. Yeah. But Satan has invented the rules of engagement. He's like the Wizard of Oz, the little old man behind the curtain, putting on the big, horrifying green face out there in the halls of Oz and scaring the shit out of everybody, causing the cowardly lion to run and jump out the window. That's what Christians do. But they don't realize he's an old, defeated enemy behind the curtain. That's what you and I know. And this is what Paul is telling us. All he has left is lies. Stratagems, methodia. In the Greek, I tell you this, and do not doubt me. This word has in it, inherent in the word, is the idea of trickery. Stratagem is trickery. Satan's a liar, the father of lies. And so he's going to trick you into thinking that he's this powerful foe. He's a big green face. I'm the great and powerful Satan. No, you're not. You're a little old man behind the curtain that's been defeated by Christ. All you got left is a light show. And surround sound, Dolby sound. It's good enough to scare the shit out of the cowardly lion. Scarecrow wasn't too sturdy there either, was he? No, neither was Dorothy. They were all effed up. The only one that had the bravery to expose the Wizard of Oz was Toto. I am Toto of the modern era. I am the Toto of the body of Christ. I'm the yippy-yappy little pooch who jumps out of the basket of the Wicked Witch of the West, runs behind the curtain, pulls it back and shows you that we are dealing with a defeated foe with a sound and light show, Dolby surround sound, and he's gonna scare the shit out of you unnecessarily if you believe his lies. If you don't believe his lies, then you're like me. You're just easy. You just go along life. Everything's fine. Everything's cool. You're not scared whatsoever of Satan, because all these pieces of armor that belong to God and that are in place for you now, these, once you realize you have these, then you're good to go. And I'm going to go through these things one at a time for you. I'll eventually get back to Romans chapter 11, you'll see, but for now I really want to do this armor of God. And I will do the armor of God. I will. You'll see. You will see.